As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
All right, Curtis, we are 5 days from the NFL draft, and we have two what-if scenarios developing for Patriots fans the way I see it. Number one is the boring scenario where everybody you want goes and you're left to pick at four because nobody wants to trade up. This is the Joe Milton terrorized you series where he won that last game of the regular season and you could have been picking higher, but you're not. And the other one is a fitzy scenario, which I want to get to in a minute. But start here. What if odds hold, Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter go, and you cannot trade back? Who do you stick and pick? You've got no choice. Do you take Will Campbell, Ashton Jeanty, Mason Graham, Jaylon Walker, Tyler Warren, or a receiver of some note?
Will Campbell.
Really?
Yeah. That's who Vrabel's going to pick. Breer is connected at the hip with Vrabel. Ohio State men are, he was on Brand X the other day saying he's ready to take him.
And you endorse it.
In that position, I would take Will Campbell, yes. Obviously, if you don't think he can play, then you don't take him. If you think that the measurements are important, but Vrabel is a guy that's never had the measurements. He's been on a team that was on the collection greater than singular parts. I don't think he'll be afraid to take a guy because of that. And he loves someone with something to prove. And there will be an abundance of people that are telling Will Campbell that he is the wrong pick. He is a unicorn with his measurements to be taken at that spot. So you take the left tackle. You should have traded for him. This is not saying this is the right move in the offseason. Tunsil was out there. You solved your big problem. Then you could trade back, take whoever falls into your lap. But as long as you need a left tackle, that's who you take it for.
I don't know why I hate the idea so much. By the way, I thought you agreed with me last week. This is like the nightmare scenario. They end up with Will Campbell.
It is a nightmare.
It's just a dud.
Well,
And I don't know why in my head. You're right. Like, they should do it. They probably should do it.
Right.
It's the smartest thing. Vrabel's smart. He'll take the most obvious need and the best player at that position. But it just seems like it's just way overreaching. I mean, he is not valued at four. He's not the fourth best player in the draft.
No, and this is, you can talk about Joe Milton, all you want, but there's audio coming from
I think it's coming from over you. You sat down and audio started just playing out the PC, but just close all your windows.
There's
close your browsers.
Open.
Oh, really?
There's literally nothing on this computer.
Well, maybe it's your phone. I don't know. Either way, we have audio at the Fenway Ford Clubhouse studio, which is fine.
Alrighty. There is nothing open on either, but...
Okay.
Anyway, so I would say very simply that the way that you avoid this is if you settle it accurately during, I think it's from the back studio, Kenny. There's got to be some audio firing back there. We're here at the Ford Clubhouse Studio at Fenway Park. It is a lovely day. It is the busiest weekend in Boston. I thought Ken was going to go with a 250-year celebration. It's not over here, you weirdo. Is this Ben Maller's TV screen, like, joining us?
God, who's running this studio? I don't know.
Now it's gone.
Is it? Okay, fine.
It was your end.
I don't know what I did. I did nothing, and it got fixed.
You get close, and people just get quiet.
What a start to your Easter Saturday.
Either way, let's get back to it very quickly.
Yes.
It's boring and dull,
yes.
And it doesn't. It's the right move, but it doesn't mean they handled their offseason right. The fact that they did not settle this position prior to the draft is a bigger mistake than letting Joe Milton play and win the final game of the regular season.
Well, I guess they can still get themselves out of it with this Colton Miller trade possibility to the Raiders, which would be great. He wants a new contract, doesn't have one, used to play with McDaniels, so there's some speculation that that could happen. Maybe they get it done on draft night, but yeah, you're right. It seems like they needed to have a better plan than this, because if they were hoping on trading back and taking Campbell, that's dependent on so many things happening that are just out of their control, which is people loving Shedeur Sanders enough to want to trade up and get him. And do you think if anybody's buying that? Like, is Deion Sanders selling Shedeur enough that that this could happen?
So I saw, of all the dumb things I've seen about the draft, and we all agree, you and I are on the same page, that everything you hear in the two to three weeks build up to the actual draft is nonsense. And one story was that the Giants are going to draft Shedeur so that they can get Deion to come to coach the Giants in 2 years, which is so stupid. Why would Brian Daboll draft the guy so it would set up the foundation for his replacement? The Giants could still be horned up enough to make that move, I think. I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility. And they could be playing coy. The other thing is it's the opposite from my perspective. If the Giants take Shedeur Sanders, it gives Daboll another two-year runway, because if you're drafting a guy at that spot, you're not going to fire the coach in year one when Daboll has had great effect on young quarterbacks. He even got won a playoff game with Danny Dimes. So,
but you know how that goes. They'd have to sit Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston
year. They could release one of those guys before the season starts easily.
Yes.
You take Ciara and Russell Wilson, they can go back, whatever. That could easily happen. Jameis is your backup, bing, bang, boom, you're ready to go. So I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility, but two things I know. If Carter and Hunter are gone, the Patriots are drafting Will Campbell at 4. And the Patriots are not trading up. Wiggy's big thing every year at this time is they should trade up to make sure they get their guy.
I can't endorse that. As much as I want Hunter or Carter, like everybody else, you can't give up.
Conservative there. I could see Vrabel maybe trading back into the first round, using some of the assets they got in the Judon trade, maybe something like that. But they are going to be at 4, taking a tackle. And I believe Bill Belichick's first pick as the head of the football operation was a tackle in Adrian Clem.
Ooh.
And the Vrabel tenure will begin as well with it.
John Hanna was the 4th overall pick back in 1973, so you'd have some symmetry there.
Oh, and can I just say, Matthew Hasselbeck's honoring of his dad, Don, was one of the most well-read, well-written things. And the other thing, 2 BC notes, that was, it's rare that you see such a wide swath of the populace say the same thing about someone. And Don Hasselbeck got that from, the McCourties to the old Patriots. Vrabel, I thought, had a great honor. A tribute to his life, obviously 70 years old is way too young. So that was a very well done thing this week. And then the other, there was an E60 done with the Frady's family, and Pete Frady's widow was on, and she said that it was the most unbelievable, because the Ice Bucket Challenge is back. It's honoring supporting mental health. It's back and around, and it's always great to see that back at this time of year. And she said it was the greatest quote. She said it was Lou Gehrig's disease, but it will be Pete Frady's cure, which was pretty cool. Quick notes I wanted to get out the way today,
yeah.
Because the Frady's are great supporters of this radio station and listeners of this show. So,
well, here's something else that was well written. The Ashton Gentry Players Tribune column. Did you take a look at that? I don't know if he wrote it himself, but it got me inspired.
The Players Tribune still exists?
Yes, yes. And Ashton Gentry has brought it back.
Are we going to do birthdays?
And he ends it with, it's tackle football. I draft a guy they can't tackle. Thank you for your time, Ashton Gentry. And I mean, it's very inspiring. It's good. It's well written. It's a story of his life and what he's overcome. I am in on the running back at 4. If he, Curtis, is the next LaDainian Tomlinson, if he's the next, I guess you could compare him to Saquon Barkley, then why not take, instead of the tackle there, who you're not sure is going to be elite in the NFL, why not take the running back who you know is going to be pretty good at a floor?
Because they almost never get you where you need to go. When Saquon Barkley went to the Giants, they never got where they wanted to go. He left, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Looked pretty good last year at the Super Bowl.
Christian McCaffrey was with the Carolina Panthers, never got where he needed to go, went to the 49ers, and now he's basically done at 30. You have these guys are not – you can also get guys like this that are similar in skill that aren't on the field as much. I mean, think about a guy like Deion Lewis with the Patriots. I mean, they're just – Rex Burkhead. These guys are not – like, I know Genty's talented.
Okay, what if he's Barry Sanders?
And how much did he win?
Well, okay, that's true. But, I mean, God, you can't – knock him for that. He was everything. I mean, he was
well, right. But they're great running backs. If you're,
I'll tell you what he was entertaining. Like,
What about Walter?
What about Walter? What about Alvin Kamara? What if he's that?
I mean, they win every year.
I know, but it's don't you need a tune in?
No,
factor
it's
for
a
this
shiny
offense?
Object. It's nice.
Take a shiny object.
It's nice rims on a mediocre car.
How boring have the Pats been to watch the last couple years?
Yay! I love exciting. Are they going to do a halfback pass?
You rip me for not being exciting enough. I want to watch exciting.
No.
Downplay this.
No, I don't want to chug 30 O'Douls. Like, there's no...
This is not O'Douls.
Yes, it is. It's cool, it's fun, but you get no high after. It's just nothing.
Saquon Barkley got the ultimate high. He just won.
So the Giants, they really
loved him? Giants mismanaged him.
Right, but I'm saying on the team they've been drafted by, tell me a great top 10 running back that won anything.
Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, we needed a certain man to arrive, and we had to leave.
I think it was the running game that got the
playoff Lenny.
I am just tempted. If it's down to Genty or Will Campbell, you want Will Campbell.
Yes, because a cornerstone tackle wins. A nice running back does not.
Okay, what did Joe Thomas ever win with the Cleveland Browns? Pretty good tackle.
Right, okay. Do you want to go over all the other tackles that have been?
Yes.
Okay, Orlando Pace.
But then never won.
Didn't he win? Sure. I thought he was with the left tackle on the Rams there.
I'm sure he did, yeah.
Okay, so there's one. 1-0.
I don't want the one.
Okay.
Give me a second one.
A left tackle? I don't know the left tackles taken to the top five.
I rest my case. 617-779-7937. Who should the Patriots pick at 4 if Carter's gone, if Hunter's gone, and they can't trade back? They have to take somebody. You have to hand the card in. It can't be blank. Curtis is going Will Campbell. Very boring selection. Very conservative of Curtis. I don't know if this is surprising to me. Hey, it is surprising to me. Last week you were with me. You were like, that's the nightmare scenario.
Now it is the nightmare scenario, but it's what they're going to do. And if I'm them, I would take Campbell over Genty at 4.
You're right about that's what they will do because Field Yates is as connected to the organization.
No, not anymore.
Oh, really?
Stevie's gone.
Well, I don't know, but he was basically his agent with Jones and Keefe this week. He was Will Campbell'd up. He was basically like, it's fait accompli. They're taking Will Campbell. But Fitzy doesn't believe this. Coming up next, the Fitzy scoop yesterday on the afternoon show that has made some headlines, a couple headlines. And I think once it reaches Philadelphia, it will make some headlines. And there's a Vrabel connection to it as well in his past. We'll play that audio for you next. Right now, it's Zach Cohen. What's trending?
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox beat the White Sox 10-3 last night at Fenway. Rookie Hunter Dobbins making his second major league start. He went 6 innings, allowing 2 runs, 1 earned on 3 hits while striking out 6. Trevor Story stayed hot, going 3-for-4 with a pair of 3-run home runs. And here's what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say about Story after the game.
When he's healthy, he's 30-30. You know, this guy's really good. So we haven't seen the healthy version of Trevor Story. My job is to keep him on the field. And I'll do my best. Plays he produces, you know, and, you know, so far it's been fun to watch.
Game 2 of that 4-game set against the White Sox continues this afternoon when Garrett Crochet takes the mound opposite his former team for the second time this season. You'll remember Crochet threw 7 1/3 no-hit innings on the South Side last Sunday, while Danvers native Shane Smith gets the start for Chicago. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil getting you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Then Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks with the call of the game. First pitch at 4:10. NBA play-in tournament wrapped up last night. The Miami Heat and Memphis Grizzlies claiming the 8th seed in their respective conferences. Playoffs officially get underway this afternoon with Game 1 in the Bucks, Pacers, Nuggets, Clippers, Knicks, Pistons, and Lakers T-Wolves series. Celtics, of course, will have to wait until tomorrow to kick off their pursuit of Banner 19. They'll host the 7 seed Orlando Magic in Game 1 tomorrow afternoon. Tip-off at the Garden set for 3:30. We're less than a week away from the NFL draft, and according to our own Fitzy, if Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter is on the board when the Patriots are on the clock with the 4th overall pick, the Philadelphia Eagles are planning to offer the Pats a package including wide receiver A.J. Brown in exchange for the pick. NHL playoffs also kicking off tonight. Blues heading to Winnipeg to take on the Jets, and Charlie Coyle and the Colorado Avalanche are in Dallas to take on the Stars. My name is Zach Ho, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
If somebody that we wanted the Patriots to select very badly, Abdul Carter, were to fall to 4th, and I know the scenario is slightly unlikely, how would you feel about a certain team that recently won the Super Bowl calling up your New England Patriots in desperation and want of Abdul Carter and offering a certain wide receiver who has admitted that he loves New England and would love to play for the Patriots and possibly more selections in a blockbuster draft day trade?
I'm Ed Fitzy, yesterday on WEI Afternoons. This is Ken and Curtis. Ken Laird here, my friend Christopher John Curtis there. And that's a source, according to Fitzy, a very well-placed source. I will say, with some hesitation, here on EEI, we've had a few scoops that have not been on the mark of late. So this is less of a scoop, but I guess a rumor or a what if, which doesn't seem likely to happen, Curtis, as we just discussed in the opening portion of the program. But if it does come true, if Abdul Carter falls to 4, if the Browns do something dumb or the Giants do something dumb and take Shedeur Sanders and the Eagles call, and at that point I believe somebody will call, right? Then you have a chance to trade. Then you've got a chance to trade out. Would you trade Carter, that pick, for A.J. Brown?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. But the odds of that happening, I would say, are less than 1%, in that it requires the Patriots and the Eagles already having this plan in place. A.J. Brown is a guy that likes to do things that create positive discussion surrounding him, which is why he's reading a book on the sideline during a game, why he's asking Tom Brady to send him an autographed jersey and gyrating for it on Instagram Live. Like, he does that because it's like it looks good to get something from what he believes the GOAT, you know, and the sport he plays.
He's an influencer.
Right. It's like, I don't – A.J. Brown with Mike Vrabel and, you know, with Drake May, we all forget about the fact that he was making a scene on the sideline of the Super Bowl in a game they were dominating.
Yeah.
Like, and then they got a touchdown, a perfect throw, great catch, touchdown pass.
He's
like,
good. Man, he was good last year.
He's a great player, but
NFC title game, 6 for 96 and a touch.
Like, Steph Diggs had issues on a sideline in games they were losing. Like, A.J. Brown had an issue in a Super Bowl his team was dominating. So how is he and Steph Diggs going to coexist?
Well, that's a good question. So you're arguing against your own.
I'd love it. I mean, believe me, they need a receiver more than they need a dominant edge rusher in Carter. Absolutely. I trust this defense is good enough to win now. If you add A.J. Brown to this team, you are in a legit position to be a threat to win the AFC East.
But Carter is 6 years younger and could be for 10 years an elite pass rusher in the league.
Awesome.
Which would be great.
Awesome. Be awesome.
Brown will be here, what, 2 or 3 years?
What's more important, Drake May getting to the next level or having an elite defense?
Ah, boy. I think I'd take Carter. I don't think I can.
Ken, you're going to get the freaking ball at the 40 now.
I know, but for 2 years, which you're not going to win.
Which doesn't get enough coverage. It is, I don't know how likely, but in the next year or two, what used to get the ball at the 20 is going to be at the 40, which, if you ask Wiggy, one of the most infuriating moments of his professional career occurred in Super Bowl 38 when John Casey booted the ball out of bounds and Brady got the ball at the 40 with a tie game.
Yeah.
That is now what will be the starting point.
You can tush push right from there.
You're literally two first downs from a field goal now. Like, this is like, so who cares if you have Carter?
Well, then you need a pass rusher. You got to get home quick.
Okay. You need A.J. Brown more than you need Carter.
If you could promise me Brown would be here for like 5, 6, 7 years, I would do it. But he won't. As you point out, he's a sideshow, so he's going to blow his way out of town at some point. Vrabel already traded him once. It is interesting.
But it wasn't Vrabel's decision to trade him.
Was it John Robinson's?
Yeah. No, it was the owner.
Oh, the owner wouldn't pay him, so they had to do something. Is that what it was?
I think so.
So the Eagles extended him 3 years, $96 million, tacked on to the other year of his deal, so he signed through 2029. So I guess theoretically you got him for 4 years. It just, and maybe he and Vrabel get along. I'm tempted by that for sure, but Carter is like, don't you agree that everybody wants Carter, even more than Hunter? That seems like the perfect scenario that he falls. Perfect scenario is they trade for Colton Miller, the tackle. You sign him, you take your tackle need out of play, and then one of those guys falls, and you can take Hunter or Carter. And Carter's probably the guy that people covet the most, even though he's not an offensive player, which is kind of interesting. More than Hunter. Or do you think Pats fans want Hunter over Carter? Either way, they'd be happy.
Either way, they'd be happy. But I think Pats, if you put an option of those three, A.J. Brown wins the poll.
Okay.
You disagree?
I think he would win the poll, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the smart decision.
I know. You never accept the results of polls.
Well, you mock the public all the time. The public is... What's your line from the movie?
What the American public doesn't know is what makes them the American public. That was from Dan Aykroyd in Tommy Boy.
You can join the program, 617-779-7937. Would you trade Abdul Carter, that fourth pick, for A.J. Brown? And if you have nothing to do there and you have to pick somebody, who do you pick? I've got support, by the way, for Ashton Jeanty coming in.
Oh, wow.
Big-time support. Let's go to Mike in Rhode Island.
Oh, darn.
To start us off this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Curtis, typically I agree with you. I think you're a smart guy, but in this play, I think we pick Ashton Jeanty. You pick the best available weapon that we can take, either McMillan, who reminds me of Mike Evans, Jeanty, who could be a stud running back that could set you up for the next 5 to 10 years at that position. And then second round, you pick the best available tackle, or you make a trade. It's pretty simple. You pick the best available weapon for the Pats, for Drake May, set us up for the future. We've been a weaponless team for the past, 6, 7 years? So we need to take some weapons and get some players in here.
Good call, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Don't they need weapons?
You
like weapons.
I do not have weapons.
You're pro-weapon.
I am not. I love America. But Penn State, his last college football game.
Yeah.
Pretty good defense in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
30 rushes, 3.5 yards a carry for 100 yards. Not any touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, but they sold out to stop. You're talking about Jeanty against Penn State?
Right.
They sold out 11 in the box to stop the guy. You still had 100 yards.
30 rushes on 100 yards.
I know, but they literally sold everybody out at the line of scrimmage to stop him, and they could barely do it. I mean,
well, they did. They contained him in the game. Are you under 4 yards a carry? 30 rushes is not in any way
I don't know. I watched some of that game, and he was like,
they made him a non-factor.
I mean, you can do that, but if you do that, I'm assuming Steph Diggs is open down the field.
Okay. Well, the greatest college football players of my lifetime, Marvin Harrison Jr., you couldn't stop him. No matter what you did, like, there are players that have, like, that in these games. That's why if he was in the ACC or SEC, then I wouldn't view that singular game as I do. But his last appearance came against a pretty good defense in college football.
Yeah.
And they were able to scheme up and stop him.
Not really. He got 100 yards. I mean, okay. Had a low per carry average.
If I remember correctly, Michigan didn't throw the ball against Penn State, and they won the game pretty easily. So, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, they have a great rush defense, but certain teams were successful and others weren't.
He ended up at Boise because he only played 1 year of high school football. If you read the Players Tribune thing, he lays it all out. It's good. I'm telling you, this guy is he's a penman of some note.
A penman of some
note. He's a smart guy. It was a good story. He sucked me in. I am Ashton Jeanty'd up. I think he is a great call. He's a weapon. And Drake May. Shime loves Drake May, right?
Loves him.
Shouldn't you be able to win with a subpar left tackle or an average left tackle if Drake May can run around a little bit and buy some time? So you drafted Drake May to compensate for some other a line that's not perfect. He should be able to overcome that. What he needs are weapons, to get back to the college point. Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield on Ken and Curtis.
Ken and Sorja. Curtis, how are we today?
All right, man. How are you?
Doing well. Curtis, hope the James man is doing well. Really quick here, guys. I just think it's like taking Campbell at four. You don't hate it if there's nothing else to do, but Ken, to your point, right? This on the line, there's so many problems on the line. Would you rather have someone who played right tackle in the past to switch over to left tackle, or would you rather have Will Campbell, which we have no idea how he's going to be? All the reports are pointing to he's not like a Joe Alt type. And really quick here, it's not a great idea, while we love Genty and Warren, to overdraft, because you look at the history of overdrafting a skill players. I always think about with the Falcons when they drafted Kyle Pitts at five, look at how that worked out. So I really wouldn't mind trading up. I know it sounds crazy, and I know the Patriots won't do it, but if you know you can get a Carter or a Henry at two, and if nobody's willing to trade down, why don't you trade up? I know it's a little bit out of the box and maybe a little bit short-sighted, but I would love to see Abdul Carter in a Patriots uniform, and I think he has a lot comparatively to like a Micah Parsons. But you guys have a great rest of your day.
All right, Sorja, thank you for the call. If they trade up, they'd have to give up their second-round pick, right, Curtis?
Yes.
I mean, that's a steep price. You cannot afford to do that.
Well, I mean, unless Bill's drafting a receiver in the second round, then you're good to go. You can trade that puppy all day. I don't think they're trading up. I think there is zero chance.
I think that I agree with that. I mean, it sounds bold and good, but now if it's between giving up your second round pick to get Carter or staying there and taking Will Campbell, God, it's so depressing. Like Thursday, it's going to be just a sad trombone. They've taken this tackle who's going to end up a guard. It's going to be Cole Strange and Will Campbell your guards. And you could do so much better. If you traded back, who would take Campbell? Like,
I don't know.
He wouldn't go until 10.
I think he'd go before 10, but it doesn't matter. If he is a left tackle that can be, you know, Matt Light was taken in the second round. He was not first round out of Purdue. So, and he wasn't a great, great player. It was a guy that was, I think that was the 0-1 draft. They took Seymour, then Matt Light.
Yeah, 48th overall.
Okay, so... And he was a left tackle that, other than Freeney, had a pretty good career with the Patriots. I think he's a Patriots Hall of Famer. I don't know. But he was a left tackle for a decade.
No, Jones and Keefe had Light in their top five draft picks of all time. Since 2001, their top five Pats draft picks yesterday both had Matt Light in there. I think at like fourth or fifth, something like that.
Matt Light as draft picks?
Best draft pick since 2001. Obviously, Gronk was one. Edelman was
Seymour?
High. Seymour was up there. It was Seymour and... Edelman.
Gronk.
Two and three. Then it was like, it was
what
Light.
What about Deion Branch? David Givens in the seventh round.
Good pick. But I'm just saying. People.
I don't think
Light is viewed, you wouldn't have Light in your top five.
No, but he's very good.
Great pick, especially for a second rounder.
Right. But I mean, you look at who the left tackles have been for Brady, and he won, you know, with that guy that sucks with the Chiefs now, a left tackle with the Chiefs. So anyway, either way, I would put Copen as a better pick than Matt Light.
Really? Wow. Get your top five. I want to hear it later.
Okay. But, yeah, I don't think the Patriots are going to they're not going to – one thing I am confident with Mike Vrabel in charge is that they will not try and outsmart and overthink. They will do what he thinks is the meat and potatoes best for the foundation of the football team.
Running backs are meat and potatoes.
Genty to the Patriots at four, there is more likelihood that you and I leave this show with a full head of hair. There's no way Vrabel's taking Genty at four.
I think you're right, but I just...
You know I'm
what,
right.
It's what I would do, which means it's right. Texter's a grief. 978 Texter. Number two offensive tackle picks, Mandarich and Robert Gallery. El Bustos.
If you were to redraft the 2019, whatever one Saquon Barkley came out in, that draft, would you take Saquon Barkley or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Okay.
But you don't need a quarterback.
But I'm saying, like, do you think the Giants wish they had taken Josh Allen?
What's Josh Allen ever won?
Okay. Do you think the Giants wish they had taken Josh Allen over Saquon Barkley?
Yes, they're in quarterback hell right now.
Right. The Eagles are the best roster in the NFL. Like, you add a guy like Saquon Barkley to it, that's a huge bonus. Like, the Patriots are nowhere near that.
They're not near it, but they are a veteran team. And to your point about giving Drake help, like, you got to get him to the next level. So that's what Genty would do. Then he's
who's the quarterback at Boise State?
I have no idea.
Okay, is he going to the next level?
No.
You can't compare college to the pros.
Why? You just said he's going to take a guy to the next level. I don't know who the hell the quarterback was. Why isn't he in the going?
Zach, who's the quarterback at Boise State?
Mark Madsen.
Mark Madsen.
Yeah, he sounds like
the guy that elevated Mark Madsen.
Wasn't he the guy that made a fool of himself dancing with the Lakers? On the...
No, that's the other Mark Madsen.
Oh, okay.
Mark Madsen, he could be an undrafted gem.
Right. There you go. He elevates, though. Look out. He elevated the player's tribute.
Well, God forbid. He only rushed for 3 yards per carry against Penn State in one game. You're
right
on him.
Well, the biggest game of the year, he was a non-factor.
He was a factor.
What are you talking about?
They designed their whole game plan to stop him.
Okay, so Notre Dame against the same Penn State defense, 117, two rushing touchdowns.
And it's not Mike Madsen. It's Maddox Madsen.
Okay. Well,
so I think he came a long way this year. I don't know about you.
Why was Notre Dame able to run the ball against Penn State, but Genty wasn't?
Different game plan. Different scenario.
Right.
Different surrounding cast.
Okay.
Every game's different.
If they sure are.
You can reach the show, 617-779-7937. We are at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, the home of the Red Sox, I might note. And we are presented by Ford, your New England Ford dealers and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. I came in on your program Tuesday, Curtis, and was in a bit of a... I was not in a good place with the Red Sox Tuesday morning. That was... after the Hauk performance Monday, I was in sort of panic mode.
Yeah.
I hesitate now to go 180 the other way and just jump back on the everything's fine bandwagon here, but I do feel better. I will admit that. And Trevor Story was the star here last night, but what's the truth about these Red Sox? Are they good or are they not as good as they were hyped up to be?
Trevor Story is great against bad pitching. So he'll be like, I have zero faith. If this team gets to the playoffs, Trevor Story is going to have one hit. Book it. Not a clutch guy, but great against these teams. Last night, I don't love that Cora keeps bringing up the weather against the White Sox. It's very odd.
He's doing his best to use that as an excuse without using it as an excuse. He'll qualify it every time with like...
Yeah, but the qualifiers don't work.
It doesn't work.
Bringing it up.
It's like, kind of sneaky genius, though. Every time he says, they had the same conditions we did, but...
Right. This White Sox team sucks. They should sweep. The White Sox are now 0-7 on the road.
The Cardinals kind of sucks, and that was...
Right.
So. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, who cares about everybody? The White Sox are one of the worst teams in baseball history,
right?
In terms of their rosters,
so, Benintendi
with the bomb last night.
Yeah,
one of the great moments in radio history when Benintendi caught it and Castig fell. It certainly was. But you brought up Cora. I'm not worried about the Red Sox. I think they're going to sweep this weekend. They'll get to whatever. What would that be? 14-10, mm-hmm. And then you go on from there. They've had a lot of road games.
It's Seattle next week. That's a big series
in Seattle or here.
Here. Measuring stick Seattle series.
Love it. Revenge for the opening series last year.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a, maybe we can do it next, but Mego had a column that came out yesterday at EEI.com.
That's the column I had up that was playing audio in the background.
Oh, it was your computer.
It was me.
Oh.
It was me. Well, and I blamed you and I apologize.
Well, thank you. That's the only reason I brought up the story.
You want to do Cora versus Missoula talk?
Well,
I want you to respond to that.
We're always put in a position where it sounds like you hate Missoula, but it's just the evidence is stacked against him when it comes to knowing wins above replacement as a coach or a manager. We know what the rosters were in the absence of both of these guys.
Right. Okay. I want you to expand on the next, but first, here's Charlie in Boston. Back to Ashton Genty. I think he agrees with you.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Charlie.
Love your Saturday morning show. It's a great way to get to the office. So, Genty, I feel like we've forgotten about Ramondre. Like, we still have Ramondre. I know he took a step back last year. Like, he didn't look like his same self. But do we know if that was because of the fumbles or because of the terrible line? Like, I don't know. So, I feel like Genty could be a huge waste. Because I don't think we necessarily need him. Gibson looked good. Ramondre should be better.
Hmm. But don't you think that he can be more than just a straight running back? I mean, I know Stevenson catches passes, but Genty's a good pass catcher too.
Right. Awesome.
Gibson and Ramondre can both catch passes too. Like, they both do that. Like, and we have the tight end. I just don't think it's necessary, and it's too high of a pick for him.
So you'd take the tackle?
This is the thing. I'm between the tackle.
Oh, between the tackle and a bed cell spot.
Oh, sorry.
He's undecided. That's what I'm telling you. It's not a good position to be in. They are screwed.
Oh, they're not screwed.
They're the fourth pick in a 3-pick draft.
Well, you know,
And it's Joe Milton's fault. It's Mayo's fault.
I mean, Joe Milton might have gotten one in this draft.
I said that weeks ago, and I stand by it. You're mocking me for it, but I am so right about that. I'm so right about Belichick, too. He is on the path back to redemption. Jordan has him reinvigorated. What a week for Bill. I mean, this is the NFL's 33rd team in the making. He is going to parlay this into an NFL job next year, and he is coming to win the Brady-Bill debate.
Why are you so detached from reality?
I'm just trying to trolling you with this.
What an awful week.
It was cringeworthy, but at least he's active. He's alive.
People get so mad when I say this. The evidence, remove emotion.
Yeah.
The only member of the Holy Trinity of the Patriots double dynasty that put winning first was the quarterback. We now have it. If hiring Patricia and Judge...
But winning first or Giselle first?
Winning. Put. I was told his career ruined his marriage. The guy that put winning first was the quarterback, not the guy that hired Joe Judge and Matt Patricia and then brings this lady around and makes her the director of operations, had her CC'd on emails while he was still with the Patriots. And then the owner, obviously not. It's just...
He put personal winning first. He did not put Patriots winning first.
Right. He settled scores for himself, not the team.
If Giselle wasn't in the picture, he retires a Patriot. Do you agree with that?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Well, no. If they... Whatever. We don't have to relitigate that. I'm just saying that we've seen all of them on their own or in different venues.
Yes.
Without the others.
Mm-hmm.
The only guy...
Bill's exciting.
Antonio Brown as a roommate. I mean... The guy was psychotic about winning.
Yeah, but Jordan on the field in that garb with those heels and it's just,
I saw a guy write about it nationally. I think it was Dan Wetzel. He said, somehow this is underplayed.
It really is.
How are we not talking about the girl in a miniskirt who's 23 running around giving the 74-year-old his ear checks with some nonsense?
Between Bill and the Blue Origin audio this week from those people, it was what a week. Just those two stories are incredible.
But it's really remarkable, and you see it, when you're around, Lexington, big day today, these very...
Concord, too.
These Brookline, you're in the middle of it. These very wealthy, utopian, liberal enclaves, mm-hmm. where people are so removed from anybody with any differing thought that they create these feelings about themselves that are so absent any self-awareness of any kind that these people go up in the air, come down, and they're lecturing you about how they're Neil Armstrong.
Don't drag Lexington and Concord into that mix. What a shot.
You go to the Pete's Coffee and they're sitting there. My favorite new thing is the bumper stickers that say I bought this before Elon went crazy. You're trying to save your Tesla.
All right, we're keeping the draft talk going. What would you do it for if it's boring? You have to pick there. Do you agree with Fitzy's trade scenario that maybe they'll get A.J. Brown? And I want Curtis's take next on the Mego column. Missoula over Cora. That's her stance, right? We'll do that next.
Yep.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Like playing for Joe.
Joe is crazy.
He seems like quite the character.
We actually talked about you. We played Portland the other day. I got a tech. The game was basically over. I ended up getting a tech with 30 seconds left.
I'm always here for a good fourth quarter tech.
Joe, he comes up to me after the game. If you get 16 or 17 techs, you get suspended for a game. So
damn.
Joe, he's like, yo, can you just get four more so you can get suspended? I'm like, Joe, I think I'm done. He's like, I would much rather you just come punch me. I want to fight.
Yo, Joe, as told by Jason Tatum. What podcast was that, Mr. Coe?
New Heights with the Kelsey Brothers.
All right, the New Heights Kelsey Brothers podcast. Kenny Curtis here on WEI from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. So, Mego's story on Missoula, she finishes this way, Curtis. Joe Missoula gets knocked a lot for some of his more curious sound bites and some of his decision-making in his rookie season. But credit where credit is due, he's earned much more respect than he's gotten. Like Tatum, he misses out on individual accolades in part because he's seen as part of a great machine. The rest of the book on his career is still unwritten, but today he should be the toast of the town. Is Joe underappreciated?
So the big, I would say in our lifetime, the big stat that was all the rage where the old heads like Shaughnessy would mock it was WAR, right? You know, wins above replacement.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing. and, you know, except for 250 years ago, pretty important one.
Yeah.
We thought that was the Civil War, but that's okay. I read the story. Mego does a great job. And I would simply say we saw the Red Sox without Cora. We saw the Celtics without Mazzulla.
You love the Ron Renicki references. You got to get one in.
When Renicki was dead, and the team was even deader. And the first halves of the last several years, you and I have said, as the build-up to the deadline happened, the trade deadline, Cora did his job. It's now the job of ownership to do theirs. And in Mazzulla's first year, he took a team that went to the finals with Ime, and he lost to an inferior Miami Heat team. Without a doubt, you can't argue it. Wick was coaching the team on the sideline, and they got rid of Marcus Smart, a guy that Ime was saddled with, which unlocked Jason and Jalen and their ability to take the team over and win a championship. I think that there are a dozen coaches, at least in the NBA, that would have won with last year's Celtics team and would be the two seed or better this year. There is not another manager in baseball that I would rather have than Alex Cora.
Hmm.
So I don't, obviously it's hypothetical, but we see what Ime did this year with Houston. We saw what Spoelstra just did getting in.
Big win last night.
Well, they trade Butler and now they're in the playoffs again. I mean,
could they upset Cleveland?
Believeland.
No, but maybe take a game.
It certainly crossed my mind. But if you were starting a basketball team in the NBA, how many coaches do you think the average owner would get to before he picked Mazzulla?
Well, that's the problem with the NBA. Like,
I'm just asking. But the problem, we're talking about this specific conversation. How many coaches do you think you would get through?
Before you got to Mazzulla?
Right.
Probably 5, 6, 7.
Right. So how many managers in baseball would you get to before you got rid of Cora?
I like you, feel like Cora is elite in Major League Baseball. So
even watching that clubhouse on Netflix, I mean, mm-hmm. The guy is – and I haven't always defended everything he's done. I have an immense amount of respect for him and what he's been able to do here. And
the biggest thing that clouds it for me is the Brad Stevens presence. Like, he's done such a good job and did such a good job to put that team together. I just give him so much more credit than I would the coach. But if he wins back-to-back, maybe that's part of Mego's column, then now he's done something serious. He's put – if Mazzulla can get this team, especially with some potential injuries here to Jalen, to a back-to-back, then he vaults to number one. You would agree with that?
In the NBA?
No, in the Cora versus Mazzulla debate, if there is one. The artificial debate. He's then won two. He's won back-to-back, which teams don't do.
Right, but I don't think that the NBA is so much based about the star players that you have, and the Celtics have the best roster in the NBA.
Yeah, but this year they're facing adversity.
What?
The repeating is hard.
That's not adversity.
Jaylen Brown's injuries and managing Porzingis, which is always tough.
Yeah, I mean, how many coaches would beg for those to be your adversity?
Oh, just saying, in order to win the crown, to beat, and they're not really, are they favorite? I don't know about the Vegas odds with OKC.
They are favorite.
Are they a favorite?
I mean, I'll check again, but...
Yeah. That would push him over for me. I would at least go that far. Sounds like you would not.
No, I would not. So the Thunder are plus 180, the Celtics are plus 190, so...
Yeah.
And then it drops off a cliff. But guess who's fourth? The Lakers. Who would have had that in the...
God, you must be just rooting for the Lakers every night.
Oh, I love
it. Just a tweak wiggy every morning after they win.
I mean, well, we need somebody... The other thing is, and I need you to explain this to me, and people that are so... The rationale people use when explaining ratings away is so bizarre to me. So the highest rated Red Sox season ever was 07. They did a 12 on Nesson.
Mm.
And 08 was also double digits. So that was after they had won it all in 04. That was, the curse had been gone. This is the Patriots in 07 were going for a perfect season. The Celtics had gotten Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and all that. And they had their best rated Red Sox season ever. The NBA this year, 25 of 30 markets went down in local TV ratings, according to John O'Rand. And the Celtics were one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is the Red Sox in this marketplace, it is talked about across the street. It is talked about everywhere. Sox are dying. Why won't people watch the reigning defending champions? All of these things. Why is that not the case when we talk about other teams in this town? Why is it only the Red Sox that were held to that standard?
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong to bring it up, and it's interesting.
Why do people hate it? Why do people, like, whenever you talk about it,
they get very sensitive to it.
Why?
Yeah.
It's just a fact. You can't yell at it. I mean, it's just a reality. So I'm trying to understand this marketplace, why are fewer people, because people said the NBA, whatever. No, it's the NBA. Last year versus this year. Same team, same network, same everything. Why are you watching the team less? Almost universally, the year after a championship spikes in attendance and in ratings because the casuals are back for the full year.
Yeah, but what were the ratings in 05 after the Red Sox won in 04? Did they go down?
No, I highly doubt it, but I'll get you. But the better one is 04, 05 is they did something they never did before. Now you're years later and you have your highest rated season in 07, which would defy the logic of having to be 04, 05.
It's a couple-year gap. I just think last year you had the Banner 18 push. They finally got it. Now the regular season was this. The way Missoula managed it was so.
But it's regular season, so it doesn't have what they did in the postseason last year. It was Missoula's second year, and the team was, you know.
This year they won, and they were able to manage the regular season differently, and it was more boring. It was duller.
Right, but it's not. It shouldn't be. There should be more people that are checking it out. If the team is growing.
Again, the playoffs tell the story there for me. If the playoff ratings this year are down from last year, that's a big deal.
But the ratings in the finals did an 18, which is tiny in Boston.
Yeah, I think it'll be better this year. Knicks will be a better series in round two. Cavs will
tune. Okay, but why is this not discussed? Why is dead?
Yeah.
Why, when it's the Celtics, do we not talk about it?
And Crochet's on the bump today. We're going to get a walk-up crowd.
Is it just because people want baseball to be dead? Is there people that are afraid of saying the NBA because they get paid by Comcast because they are, you know, working close to the team?
Yeah, the NBA has good influencers.
Well, I mean, the people that cover the NBA are basically fans. Yeah, I mean,
they are. I would like to pivot back to the draft, if we could. We'll do that next. We're broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio and presented by Ford and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Elliot Wolf, Mike Vrabel, the brain trust, who's making the pick? Do you have trust in Vrabel?
I would take Vrabel over Missoula.
Oh, okay. I want to talk about Vrabel. We'll do that next.